And seven, and I'm going to open the work session on House Bill 2575. Andy.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 2575 is a measure that would create the Oregon Family Leave Benefit Insurance Program to provide benefits to employees taking family leave. It would require that employees pay premiums, which would be withheld from their earnings and paid into a family leave benefits insurance account. It would be administered by the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and it would apply only to employers of 25 or more employees.
Great. Representative.
Good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am Representative Diane Rosenbaum from House District 42 and Speaker Pro Tem of the Oregon House, and thank you very much for the opportunity to bring House Bill 2575 before you for a work session. We have the Dash 4 amendments, and that's what I'm going to be referring to in my testimony this morning. And just to refresh your memory, as Andy just said, the purpose of this bill is to set up the Oregon Family Leaves Benefits Program, which would allow people who work for employers covered by the Oregon Family Leave Law to receive some partial paid benefit to help them during times of leave for the purposes for which you can take time off under the Oregon Family Leave, namely birth or adoption of a child or if a family member is seriously ill. The benefit is now specified. It had a blank in the original bill. It would be for an amount that would be $250 a week. That would be funded by a very small contribution from employees only, and that would be one penny per hour for the hours that people work. So now I'm going to refer you to the Dash 4 amendments, which I hope you all have copies of. We've been working diligently since your hearing on March 19th with the agencies who will implement this bill to clarify the statutes that would be needed to implement this landmark legislation. First, we needed to address the collection aspect of the bill to ensure that the withholding requirement is not onerous for employers. And currently, the Department of Revenue, the Employment Department, and the Department of Consumer and Business Services have partnered to enable Oregon employers to report and pay up to five payroll taxes using a single combined reporting form and writing a single check. So essentially, this would be included with everything else that they already are collecting and paying. Through the combined payroll tax reporting system, Oregon employers quarterly report their state withholding tax, state unemployment insurance tax, the workers' benefit fund assessment, and TriMet and Lane Transit District taxes. That workers' benefit fund assessment is the workers' comp cents per hour that employees already pay. By interagency agreement, the Department of Revenue cashiers and deposits all tax payments received into the respective partner agencies' fund accounts. Employment Department images or otherwise data enters all report data collected and electronically transmits that data to each partner agency's databases. So House Bill 2575, as you will recall, calls for a one penny per hour work to be deducted from an employee's earnings. We added the Paid Family Leave Benefit Insurance Program to the combined payroll tax reporting system. This way, employers do not have a new form to file, and that will reduce administrative costs. Second, we needed to create a better time frame for the relevant agencies to adjust to this new program. So we've delayed the startup time of the Paid Family Leave Benefit Insurance Program by 1 year from the dates in the original bill. Therefore, employers will start withholding premiums on January 1st of 2009 instead of in 2008, and employees will be able to start filing claims on July 1st, 2009. We also delayed the implementation of the voluntary employer opt-in to July 2010, and you'll recall that this was for employers that were not covered by the 25 or more threshold but still wish to participate in this program. We have a voluntary option for them. And so this delayed start date for that part will allow the Bureau of Labor and Industries sufficient time to get used to the mandatory system for businesses with 25 or more employees before implementing the voluntary system for smaller businesses and self-employed individuals. And third, we added a section on civil penalties in order to give the Bureau of Labor the tools to enforce the withholding aspects of the bill. And we used the common penalty language that is already in the Bureau of Labor statutes. And finally, we changed some language that was seen as unworkable or needing clarity. So in Section 3.2A, we extended the time within which the Bureau must notify the employer of a claim from 2 business days to 5 business days. In Section 3.10A, we removed the cap of 40 hours per week for purposes of premium withholding because it is too difficult to track, and we clarified that the penny is withheld from earnings after taxes are paid. And in Section 3.9B, we extend from 180 days to 1 year the time within which the Bureau can issue an assessment against a successor employee. So that's basically a walkthrough of the changes that are in that are represented in the Dash 4 amendments. Here with me today is Labor Commissioner Dan Gardner, as well as the Deputy Labor Commissioner Doug McKean, and they will provide some additional testimony and also help answer any technical questions that you might have.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions of Representative Rosenbaum?
Of the panel or?
No, of her.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. Anybody? Okay. Thank you very much, Representative.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and I just simply add to what Representative Rosenbaum already testified is we've met with the other agencies. We've learned from their experiences, particularly from DCBS and some of their experiences with the Worker Benefit Fund, that we needed the time frames adjusted to be able to set up this system and make sure it works appropriately. And as the Bureau is fully prepared to do so, should the bill pass this legislative session, and we're very much in support of the bill, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Commissioner Gardner. Representative Maurer.
Yes. Commissioner, at a penny an hour, and I'm trying to do the math real quick here, but at a penny an hour, which a maximum of 40 cents a week and a benefit of $250 a week, an employee has to work how long to pay for 1 week's worth of, I'm trying to do the math.
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, it would roughly come to $20 to $25 a year per employee if you're working 40 hours a week or slightly over.
Okay.
I think if I could help answer that question, Representative Tomei, Chair Tomei, Representative Maurer, if we calculated about $20 per employee per year, and that would entitle them to up to $1,500 a year of the benefit at $250 a week.
Follow up?
No. That's fine. Thanks.
Any further questions? Welcome back. All right. Would you give us your name, please?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'm Doug McKean. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of Labor. I'm really here just to answer any questions you might have about the amendments. I helped put them together. We met with the Oregon Employment Department, DCBS, Department of Revenue. We gained a lot of information from input from those agencies about the programs they run, and so that helped us fashion these amendments to help make this program work if we implement it. So I'm here to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. McKean. Any questions of this witness? All right. Thank you very much. Do we need to keep them here? Will we be having any further questions of this as we're debating this? Okay. All right. Great.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay. I guess I would look for a motion.
Madam Chair?
Oh, wait. I see.
Well, Madam Chair, I also have a couple of amendments.
Okay.
And I don't know how you want to do this.
Well, let's hear your amendments.
Okay. And Andy has a copy of them.
Okay.
then, Madam Chair, if
why
I may.
Why don't you take the simple one first?
I'll take the simple one. They're actually both relatively simple.
Okay.
The Dash 2 amendment, what that does is it takes away the authority for BOLI to adjust the rate, and by default it would be legislatively approved increase. And it doesn't address how much what the benefit is, but it just puts that back to the legislature to be able to increase that assessment. And so that's all that Dash 2 does.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Cowan.
I'm wondering if we could get the folks that are supporting the bill, make sure they have a copy of the bill and the amendments so that we can get comments.
Of the amendments? I'll hear Andy saying them.
I just want the supporters to be able to follow along here. So.
Well, I apologize for...
When we excuse the
14 through 16.
And this is the Dash 2 amendment?
Dash 2.
Yes, that's right now. Right. It would remove lines 14 through 16.
On page 5.
Oh, on page 5.
Right.
Thank you.
Which is the section that addresses who has the authority to adjust the amount of the premium. And if I may back up, just a comment on the Dash 4s about, you know, the administrative changes. I think we're all very appropriate about how that is going to be operated. So anyway, so the Dash 2 addresses just that. The Dash 1 is essentially a gut and stuff. And what this does is it keeps the program intact, except it changes the context from a mandatory program to a voluntary insurance program. And so basically who's qualified is open. There is no 25 employee business. It's just everybody, every employee, self-employed or otherwise employed, could voluntarily participate in this insurance program, which would be managed by SAFE.
Which would remain what?
Managed by SAFE.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We do not have a problem with the Dash 2 amendments. We don't think that would have a harmful impact on the original bill.
Okay.
And I think the Labor Commissioner is in agreement
with that.
No, I
absolutely agree, Madam Chair.
Okay.
No objection to the Dash 2s.
Right. Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Kotek.
Thank you. Good morning. On the Dash 2s, just quickly, and thank you for your comment on that. How do they do this in California? I know they haven't been in effect for that long, but, have they had adjusted at all? Or?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, California does have similar language to our original bill. They've actually made some minor adjustments in the amounts there, and actually, in fact, I think ended up lowering it at one point. So, but I think if it would reassure members of this committee, we don't have a problem with having the language that Representative Maurer suggests. I think we could still work with that.
Thank you.
And a comment about a comment about California. Their rate is not a penny per hour, but it's at this year, it's at 0.6%, and last year it was at 0.8, and it's forecasted to go back to 0.8%. And so, what does that translate to in real dollars for an employee? For a minimum wage employee, that translates to about a nickel an hour. And that's at 0.6, and at 0.8, it goes up to 6 cents an hour. I mean, and that's rounded.
Madam Chair, if I could just comment on that comment, though. California has a completely different system than we do. In the first place, their law covers every single person, whether they're self-employed or regardless of the threshold of the employer. So it's a much different universe of people. They also have a system called the temporary disability system, which actually pre-existed this program, and that covered time off for the employee's own illness and all sorts of things that this bill does not even contemplate. So I'm not sure you could really compare, you know, although certainly we got the idea from this by looking at California's successful example. They're two very different animals.
So it covers more situations than your bill would cover, is that correct?
Right, and it would cover many more employees, since ours only covers, the mandatory portion only covers those that work for employers of 25 or more, who are the same people that are covered by the OFLA or Oregon Family Leave Act.
Thank you. Any further questions of either of these two? Any questions of Representative Maurer? Let's talk about Dash 2 amendments. Any questions of Representative Maurer regarding the Dash 2 amendment?
Representative. Can I clarify, Representative Rosenbaum, when you indicated that you could support the language that was here, were you speaking of both the Dash 2
no,
and the Dash 1?
I was not. I think the Dash 1 amendments, I just don't think these amendments are workable. I don't think you can set up a program like this and have it be optional, because the whole idea of it is to have a much larger universe of people participating so that all those people potentially will get the benefit. And just like any other insurance program, you know, health insurance or whatever, you want to sort of have a, I'm forgetting what the term is for this, but just want to have a universe of people that are covered so that they, at any given time, you know, you'll have not everybody that's participating taking advantage of it. I would fear that you would have a self-selecting group of people who had are anticipating a need to use it, and you wouldn't have the larger universe of people who might need it at some point but not currently. So I don't think that it would work out that way. And maybe the commissioner has some comments too.
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Gelser, I think the other problem is that we did meet with the Employment Department, DCBS, and with Revenue. We never met with Safe Corporation, nor do we have any idea if they could take over the capacity to do this. Clearly, there'd have to be some interaction with Bowley, since we enforce the family leave laws in order to maintain to determine eligibility and the like, and there would be cost for Bowley to SAFE for that, and there's been no coordination whatsoever with SAFE.
Thank you. Commissioner.
And if I may, I have talked with SAFE, and SAFE has acknowledged that they could take this on as an insurance.
So would they have a fiscal?
Well,
this on?
In the Dash 1, it does give them the authority.
Dash 4, you mean?
I'm sorry. No. In the Dash 1, which is my gut and stuff,
okay.
It does give them the authority to use the premiums or a portion of the premium as their administrative cost. But.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Maurer. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rosenbaum, last month when you presented this to us, I wish I would have asked you the question, so now I'm going to ask you it now. Is there a projection of, now that we're moving to 09 for the benefits to begin, a projection of the possibility of how many people would apply for this? Has there been any homework or anything like that?
Yes. Madam Chair, Representative Olson, I think that we have looked at the experience of California in terms of trying to figure out how many people would likely take this. I mean, it's obviously difficult to know that, but those are the numbers that we based our projections on. We figured that it would be, I mean, you know, it's a different size workforce, obviously, but I think it's probably a pretty reasonable place to look. There's really no other example that we can look at. So,
follow up. If I remember right, I think the testimony or the information I've read was about 165,000 people have applied for benefits there.
In California, the latest figures that we have are 176,000 claims, of which 137,000 were actually paid out. So presumably some people applied who, for various reasons, didn't turn out to be eligible.
Excuse me. I guess it makes sense. Thank you. Makes sense. I mean, you're talking about a state that has about 33 million people versus our 3.5, and you can apply that accordingly.
I mean, I assume this, Madam Chair, Representative Olson, I assume those figures are right. And I also want to point out that most of those claims are for people that are taking care of newborn or adopted children.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Maller.
And since we're talking about California, the California benefit, I believe, is $800 a week. Is that correct?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Maurer. It is a higher benefit. That's right.
Okay. And I 2 points. One is that at a $250 benefit level, I think that reduces the number of people that would even consider applying for it, given that many other people live paycheck to paycheck, and that a $250 benefit wouldn't cover their expenses, and so I would think that would eliminate a pool of people. And the other comment is that I don't look, this is I don't I it's called an assessment, and I'm frankly, you know, it's mandated. So there's going to be a lot of people that don't want to participate in this. And so I look at this, you know, I'll use the term tax, and you may not like the term tax, but I think because it's mandated that essentially it is a tax on the employees. And so I still have concerns about this program as it's being proposed to be structured.
Thank you, Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just thinking about Representative's comment about how much per week, and I don't know if we all received the same letter, but I have a letter in my file from a Mr. Brian Light from Salem, and he was saying that even at $250 a week, it would allow him to stay home with his baby. I think some level of support would allow families to be creative. So I think. $250 is a good place to start. So I don't know if that was based on anything in particular, but you know, we have folks who are saying, give us, you know, help us out somehow so we can stay home with our babies for a certain amount.
Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, we have been looking at what the state of Washington had been doing, and that was the figure that they were using. Obviously, people would love to have more than that, but I think if you're comparing it to nothing, which is what most people are getting right now, it's enough to pay some utilities, to buy some groceries, and I think that most people would say that that's not an insignificant thing. And obviously, I think it will help a lot of people, particularly low-income people that are struggling and have to deal with these health situations just like the rest of us.
Did you have a question, Representative?
Thank you, Representative Elser, and thank you, Madam Chair. Just to weigh in on where I am, I see this as another tax, and I don't understand why, in the scheme of things, we don't try to make this voluntary first, see what happens, come back in the next session, and see, you know, if we need to put some kind of a mandate on it. But I think when you bring something forward like this in the workplace that it's got possibilities, a lot of positives about what it could do, why don't we try to sell it to business? Why don't we try to sell it to unions? I've got contacts in unions we could get to. And so for me, the mandatory part just is not right.
Representative Gelfi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the concerns about making it mandatory, and also really appreciate Representative Maurer's thoughtful amendments, and I think it's really reflective of this committee that's a pleasure to serve on because people are very thoughtful. But I am really compelled by Representative Rosenbaum's argument that for a broad-based insurance program to work, you can't selectively come in and come out, or else there wouldn't be the financial underpinnings to be able to provide this benefit to families and to people. I think that It certainly is an increase of a penny per hour for employees, but I think that the benefit that they achieve in that, of being able to be home to care for their loved ones when they're sick, to care for a new baby, to not face the inability to buy groceries when they're ill, is enough to justify that cost. So I wholeheartedly support this bill. I appreciate the efforts to address the concerns that are reflected in the Dash 4 amendments. And with that, I'd like to move the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2575.
Representative Kelser, move the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2575. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Did I hear three no's?
You heard. We were on the
Dash 4 amendments.
Yeah, right. I voted aye on that.
Okay, so we have five ayes on this and two no's. Representative, do you have any further questions on the Dash 2 amendments?
On the Dash 2 amendments? No, although I actually was just informed that there might be another set of amendments that you're in possession of, or perhaps Representative Olson, but maybe those are not.
That's bad intel.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind.
Okay.
I also want to mention that this bill does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, so if it's your pleasure to move it, that's where you would be moving it.
So. All right. So we have the Dash 2 amendments in front of us. And Representative Rosenbaum, you have no problems with the Dash 2 amendments, nor did you. Okay.
Representative Kotick? Madam Chair, just a question on the Dash 2 to clarify. And I can see Representative Mowers. I think putting these forward makes sense. I guess my question is, just so I can know in my mind, so taking this out, then it would just be like any other statute. We'd have to come back and adjust the one penny per hour as a legislature. There's no other mechanism in here. I'm just...
Absolutely.
Okay.
My concern is that we're... That I still view this as a tax because, you know, we don't mandate life insurance, but a lot of people buy life insurance, and it's relatively inexpensive. And this is if, and if it had market value, I mean, if the marketplace saw a need for it, the insurance market would create this paid. They would, I don't know what they would call it, but essentially paid family leave. And so I think we're putting this program in. It's a mandate. I view it as a tax, and therefore the legislature should have the authority to raise or lower the assessment. You couldn't go lower than a cent an hour, but a cent a week maybe, but to raise or lower that assessment. So that is my view, that it's not an outside agency that has that authority.
Madam Chair, and I would agree with that. I think it adds a certain level of accountability that we should be reviewing this if we need to come back and increase it. So I'm fine with the Dash 2s.
So, Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2575.
Representative Bauer moves the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2575. All in... Oh, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The Dash 2 amendments pass, as did the Dash 4 amendments. All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair.
I have a question over here, maybe two questions. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just felt like I need to make a comment at this point. Since it appears that this committee is kind of split on these, the Dash 1 amendments came as a total surprise to me. I did not know that the discussion was taking place, so I've been trying to sort of take them in, I guess, at this point. But I feel like that they're too major of a shift from the effort that's being made that I cannot support the Dash 1 amendments at this point. And I guess I'm struggling with this concept of referring to it as a tax. I I suppose depends on your definition that one could put that on. But I really believe that employees would be willing and welcome the opportunity to participate in such a small assessment to make a program available that one might take need of. And I base that on a couple of things. One is the incredible generosity that I experienced amongst the employees of the county when someone would need to be away and need the extended sick leave time, and how willing we made it a voluntary process, and people could contribute their unused sick leave to help another employee out, and they were very, very generous with that. Similarly, I've experienced the challenges of trying to care for failing elderly relatives and manage a job at the same time, and I've always been fortunate enough to be in a salaried position that I was able to do that. But if one is on an hourly basis, it would be impossible to do unless you simply left work. And I think that the availability of even a small amount would help tide people over during very difficult and sometimes unexpected times in their life. So I just want to put on the record that I will support moving the bill forward as is, and I can't support the dash ones at this point.
Thank you, Representative Cowan. Representative Maurer.
And Madam Chair, I do feel compelled to move the dash one amendment to House Bill 2575.
Representative Maurer moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2575. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, Representative Gillian.
I just want to make it clear again that in the context of this committee and all the things that we see and hear, for me, this is not a priority. It's important, it's compelling, but at a penny an hour or whatever it is, it all adds up, and that's my concern. And maybe it has to do with where we are in the session, maybe it has to do with my own just assessing, you know, what we're seeing. But every time we say mandatorily we have to add, whether it's something with health insurance, whether it's this, it all adds up. And at the end of the session, I wonder what the bill is going to be that we, out of compassion and out of concern for workers, but that we hand to employees. And I'm against it. If it is something that you think workers would cotton to, that they would benefit from, that they see the positives, then make it voluntary and let them decide, then assess it after 2 years. But to rush to add on penny here, penny there, I think we're going to have a big bill to hand to employees and employers, and I think we have more important things that we should fund. So that's why I'm all for a voluntary program, but I am against this tax.
Representative Olson.
Madam Chair, I truly appreciate Representative Rosenbaum's efforts on this and her concern with this and everything. I'm struggling with the bill, to be truthful with you. But I do want to bring some clarification here, because I know there seems to be some concern about identifying this as a tax. And I just want to read just a little blurb that I received back from Ann Boss, because at the end of last month I inquired as to whether or not this was considered a tax. And I don't know if any of you received that email. Okay, well, let me just read this and put this on record then. And this is a quote from Ann Boss. She says, "In my opinion, House Bill 2575 is not a bill for raising revenue under either sections of 18 or 25 Article 7 or 6 of the Oregon Constitution. The Oregon Supreme Court strictly construes the phrase bill for raising revenue. A bill for raising revenue must impose a tax that results in an increase in revenues available for general government purposes. House Bill 2575 would not impose a tax. Instead, it would charge an insurance premium for funding an insurance pool whose sole purpose would be to ensure payment of family leave benefits. The premium that is charged benefits only those who pay it. So it, excuse me, it does not serve general government purposes. In that respect, it is similar to a bill imposing a fee, which also is not a bill for raising revenue." So just share that, get that kind of clarified.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Kotek.
I just want to say that I'm not going to be able to support the dash ones either, because I do buy the argument, and I think it is a very valid argument about having the most people participate. Otherwise, we won't have solvency, and I don't think we'll achieve what we need to achieve. So I think the voluntary nature makes it unstable, and I think this is important for Oregon families. So I'm going to have to vote no on the dash ones, but thank you for the alternate suggestion.
Any further discussion? We have dash two amendments. Representative Maurer moves the dash one amendments. Thank you. To House Bill 2575. We've had discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No. What?
I'm sorry.
Okay, the motion is
Madam Chair, I sincerely apologize.
No
I was
problem.
Writing and was not paying
no
attention
problem.
As I should have been.
Representative Maurer moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2575. All in favor say aye.
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 Not my argument. All in favor, all opposed say no. No. So four no's. Thank you. All right, we have.
I'm embarrassed.
No problem.
How did you hear four female voices in that? I'm just trying to figure that out.
I didn't hear who that was.
Do you want to? Share with me the real call.
I'm sorry.
I think that's a really good idea.
No problem.
Representative
Callen?
No.
Representative Gelser?
No.
Representative Gilliam?
Yes.
Representative Kotek?
No.
Representative Mallon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Sorry,
yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No.
Thank you very much.
Not having received the constitutional majority, the motion fails. So, Representative Gelser.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2575 as amended to the full, or to the Ways and Means to the floor to the Ways and Means Committee.
Yes,
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2575 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gelser moves the House Bill 2575 as amended to the Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Susan, would you call the roll?
Representative
Callen?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
No.
Representative
Kotek?
Aye.
Representative
Mallon?
No.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative
Kotek? Aye. Having received the constitutional majority, House Bill 2575 as amended has passed and will go to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. So I will close.
Go ahead.
The referral to Ways and Means, is that because of impact on Boley? I'm sorry, I'm just wondering.
Oh, the referral, Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, the bill has a referral to Ways and Means because there is a startup cost to this, and so they need to look at that. And actually, I should mention, too, that we have worked with the State Treasurer's Office because it's common for new programs like this to actually be able to borrow money through the State Treasurer's Office against the money that will be collected, and then it'll be paid back very quickly because it's such a broad pool of people from whom it's being collected. So I think that's the method that we're looking at. But it does need to be looked at in Ways and Means, and we have been in discussion with the co-chairs about it.
Representative Rosenbaum, you read from a letter. I didn't get a copy of that. Did you get?
I don't think I was the one that.
Oh, no, I read it. I can make a copy for everybody.
Uh-huh. No, not just that letter. I meant your testimony.
Oh, my testimony? Sure.
Would you be possible?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. That would be really helpful. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, on the dash ones, as I counted it, we each get to count Representative Cowan, so it's a tie.
Good try, Representative Gilliam. Good try. Okay,
Madam Speaker, if Representative Gilliam ever is not paying attention and makes an error, I will be sure to make.
What did she say?
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed this the last couple times we've met, but there does seem to be a little bit of friction here from both ends.
You need to take it outside.
All right.
All right. I need a carrier. Representative Cowan.
Ways and Means,
no.
You don't need a carrier.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me close the hearing on House Bill 2575 and open up a hearing on House Bill 2752. This bill is not ready to be heard yet, so we will not be hearing this until Wednesday. So I close the hearing of the work session on House Bill 2752. Any further business, folks? Will you get? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to let the committee know that I've discuss with some of the advocates who were testifying on behalf of the bill we moved on Friday, the one that the general assistance bill, to ask them to help us put together a letter that we can send to the Ways and Means Committee. So if anybody wanted to work on that, I thought they could give us some language to get started, because we had discussed maybe sending some additional, our vote of confidence for that bill to the subcommittee. So
good.
Just want to let people know that's in the works.
Good. Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Cowan.
Thank you. I just like to mention to the committee that one of the bills that will be coming to us, I believe, on Wednesday, and I'm afraid I don't have the number off the top of my head, I didn't come prepared, deals with senior services. And it's very, very simple in your bill file. The area agencies on aging group supporters will be here with proposed amendments to it to clarify what actually the needs are. But I would urge you to really take a close look and listen. We have some serious issues developing in within our senior populations, and we're currently facing 26 facilities statewide, which are about 40% of the assisted living facilities, as I understand it, who have given gradual withdrawal notices, meaning that as the current clients that they have right now are no longer with them, they will not be accepting any new Medicaid clients. So it's in that mid-range gap that we're trying to bolster and do as much as we can with Oregon Project Independence and make sure that folks have an ability to stay in their homes. We have raised some rates on the other end of the spectrum in nursing homes, and hopefully we'll be able to continue that. But in the middle, the rates for assisted living facilities and adult foster care, community-based residential treatments are struggling with
we can't go too far, Representative.
No, because I won't go too far, and so I'm just asking folks to look very carefully at that piece of legislation when it comes forward, if you could. And I'm sorry, I just wanted to highlight it, because for me, when I look in my bill file and start to talk about something, and I've got a one-pager that's a paragraph that doesn't say much of anything, it's not particularly helpful to me preparing for committee. So. That's
and will you be getting us amendments before the meeting?
I don't know that, okay. That there will be actual okay. amendments. There will be some proposals, and I know we're on a tight timeline. So I just wanted to raise.
Okay.
But I do have before me a request for amendments for that. So
okay. All right. Good.
Apparently there will be something.
Good. So. And we will be meeting at 8:30. We sort of toyed with the idea of meeting at 9, but we'll meet, or 8, but we will be meeting at 8:30 on Wednesday. Any further business?
On what day?
Thank you. Wednesday.
I'm serious. What, didn't you say Tuesday?
Did I say Tuesday?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you said Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay, sorry.
We're going to close this committee before we really get into trouble. Close the committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness.